You're listening to the Christian Indie Artist and Songwriters Podcast, the place where faith, music, and life intersect. We exist to help Christian indie artists and songwriters just like you get songs heard. Hey, I'm here with my friend Tim Atape coming to us live from Nashville, Tennessee. How's it going this morning, sir?
It is going. Children awesome. Are yeah. everywhere.
They're abounding, right? Like arrows from the Father's hand. They're just shooting out there.
I don't know if the arrows are pointed at me or the arrows are just here. They're arrows, yeah. though.
Sometimes there are scars involved, you know, but, you know, it's all in the name of raising them upright. So we'll take a couple shots for that, right? Awesome, man. As we were talking about before we kicked off, you know, we've been connected via social media for years, you know, and it's been so great and exciting to see your journey unfold and listen to all the great music that you've been putting out. And the latest project, Meta, has just been one of my favorites, and we'll get into all that. But, you know, I'll always like to start at the beginning, right? So where did music kind of start for you? How did it all begin?
Yeah, man. Well, I did say this offline, but I want to make sure it was on the record that, you know, one of the things I've appreciated about you is we do have this history, you know, yeah. And this is our first time talking outside of social media, but it's been really great to have your friendship. I consider you a friend, even though this is our first conversation, your friendship just through the years, because, you know, sometimes as things continue to grow and change for me, I just value those connections that have been there long. In a way, they really do speak to the steadfastness and faithfulness of God through seasons, especially like seasons when you kind of feel unseen. And so I just wanted to thank you for having me on and also just for being consistent. I am from San Diego. As you can tell, my name is not a traditional name heard in the United States, which is really funny because the United States is like a melting pot. I mean, there's people from all over the world here. So what is a normal United States name?
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, like, there is no such thing.
Yeah, especially not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, especially not anymore. But I do understand, too, there's a lot more Matthews than Timmy Tape than I know, you know. So
probably true.
So my parents are immigrants. My dad's from Nigeria, immigrated over here in his teens and going to college and grad school here. My mom's from London, immigrated over here also in her teens, went to college and grad school here in the United States. They met when they were in grad school in California, in an area called Riverside, and they got married, had three kids, moved to San Diego, had three kids, and I am the second, I'm the middle, and I am their favorite. And that's just how it is, you know, like, favor ain't fair, it's just how it is, I'm their favorite, and that means that I'm broke. Yeah, it's just what it is, dude. It's like, like, my siblings and I always laugh about it. I'm like, I also think I make them the most like frustrated, but I'm like, I can't be all sweet and no sour. Like, come on.
So, right, Sour Patch Kid. I mean, everyone loves Sour Patch Kid, so that's just who you are.
Everybody does. Like, they understand. So I grew up, and there's a concept that I have joined in coining. I didn't coin it. It's called the immigrant hustle. Are you familiar with it?
I'm not, but I'm about to be.
Yes, here you go, bro. So there's this concept, and this is a little bit of my, you know, I mean, we've been connected online. You know, I love to think and theorize, right? So to me, the immigrant hustle is rooted in this desire to be a contributing member to the country that you're immigrating to versus a member that is like a leech and taking things away. That's not to say everybody that immigrates over is a, you know, contributor or a leech. I'm not saying that at all. I just believe that there's this hustle, there's this spirit of like wanting to do well, wanting to achieve a lot that I've seen, at least in my family as immigrants. And again, my dad's Nigerian, and Nigerian people are kind of more known for that in general. However, I just saw my dad work really, really hard to create a life for us. And the reality is, I mean, like, his parents worked really, really hard to get five kids from Nigeria over to the United States to have a better future. Cause what was offered to them in Nigeria for like, in terms of being able to make it, if you will, like, that just, there was not as many options. And so they're like, why'd you go to the United States, the land of opportunity? And so I think it was instilled in him, but also part of his character. So anyway, all that to say, he worked really hard, and I had the opportunity to grow up in an honestly pretty good area, at least in my time, and during my time, I thought it was. To be honest, it was not a very like multicultural or diverse area. I grew up in a very affluent area, and because of redlining and other things, you know, that have happened in our country, have made it honestly harder. for people of color get into certain areas to live. We lived in a neighborhood where all mostly, I mean, I don't think any of my neighbors were black. I think they all were white. And then the church that I went to, I think we were one of like maybe three or four black families. And so I grew up in white spaces as a black person. And ultimately what that did in me is it created this like feeling of where do I fit in? Because what would happen was, is as much as I was around white people, there was this disconnect because they would say things to me that they wouldn't say to each other. Call me Oreo or whitewashed or, token, you know. And then when I would go to black communities, I was also receiving some things that they weren't saying that black people, were, at least that I was experiencing, they weren't saying it to each other. They were saying that I was, you know, the same kind of things. Hey, man, you're whitewashed. You're not black at all. Like, you know, just things that really made me feel even more excluded and even more made me wonder even more like, okay, like what am I supposed to do? Now, another complexity that was added to the top of that with my interactions with a lot of black people is growing up, I was told, hey, we are black, we're not African American. And there was a distinction there I was told growing up. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Honestly, experiences that my dad in particular had that were negative as it involved people of color in the United States. You know, again, he's coming from a country that's not here, coming here, and he's coming here like in the middle of, you know, he was around for civil rights. He was coming here like in a really interesting time. And so he and there's a real reality in the black community that there is a separation between like first generation Americans that are like, you know, like me, like my parents are from Africa. And then like people whose lineage, other black people whose lineage has been here longer. And so he was kind of speaking into that. And unfortunately, what that did in me is, you know, I'm feeling like I don't fit in. I'm feeling like I'm in an all white world. And in my mind at the time as a young kid, like the only reason I don't fit in is because I'm not white. And so what I ended up doing is like really just hating black. I didn't like black people. I didn't like that I was black. I didn't like that my parents were black or my siblings were black. I just really wanted to get as far away from it as possible because it just made me feel, it made me feel like another. And I didn't want to feel like another. I wanted to feel what I thought was normal. And there wasn't any voices in my life because of the community in which I lived in that were able to speak into me and say like, no, like you are black on purpose. That wasn't as available to me, which is why I'm passionate about doing that now. So anyway, I'm growing up and trying to figure out where do I fit in? Not really liking my skin, not really liking what I'm like, how I look or my world. And at the same time, I've really felt like I needed to do music and just like, without going too far down that rabbit trail, like, to a Nigerian father, your son telling you that you want to do art, like that's just not the vibe. It's like you can be a poor artist in Nigeria, but in the United States, you can be a doctor, a lawyer, like have a real job, you know? Yeah. And so I ended up going to school and I've studied, you know, public relations. And then I later got my master's in public communication. And so I'm having this weird thing go on where I'm like, I don't really feel like I fit in. And at the same time, I don't really feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. All the while, I, you know, dated and got engaged and married my high school sweetheart. We'd moved, you know, to a place of our own. You know, we were kind of figuring out what it looked like to be a young married couple. I had just become a worship pastor at the church that I grew up in. You know, I was working at a marketing firm and there was an opportunity to work for the church I grew up in. And so slowly but surely, the Lord was kind of like helping me to realize like what he made me for. And yeah, just fast forwarding the story, I just over being a worship pastor at a couple different amazing church communities that I still very dearly love, God used that to really help me to understand like, hey, I've built you to be an artist. There's a difference between being a pastor and an artist, and there's not anything wrong with either of them. Like a Paul or a Timothy. Paul was always on the go. Timothy stayed. Who's to say who was greater? No one. You know, like they both had really intentional ministries that the Lord used to bless the church and to grow people in his knowledge. And so I just through different experiences and really good, hard conversations with the church communities that I was a part of as a worship pastor came to understand like, okay, there, I feel like I have an artist call in my life. That doesn't mean I shouldn't be a part of a community. Like you need to be known. I mean, Paul and Timothy, like I was talking to my buddy, John, it's like Paul and Timothy or Paul and Barnabas, like they spent time in a local community before they left. Before Paul started his like ministry going around, he was known, he was sent, he was known. And so there's a important value, I think, to all artists and creatives. Like, you need to be known. You need to be in a place where, like, you can be loved and love others, and they can love you and know you. And in that way, sharpen each other into being more made, more into the image of Christ. Like, we need people that remind us that we're actually not that cool. So all that to say, figure that out. And then I had this opportunity at the beginning of 2020 to go and write songs in Atlanta. And I'm still, you know, mind you, like, I figured out, okay, like, I'm walking a little closer into what I feel like I'm supposed to do, but I still don't know who I am. You know, mm-hmm. I'm doing a little bit more what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know who I am. And honestly, I mean, we've been following each other for a while. You will know, like, the songs that I started writing and the songs that I are releasing now, they sound so different. Mm-hmm. Because when I was started writing and releasing, I was really honestly trying to emulate, you know, I don't say whiteness in a negative way, but I was really just trying to emulate whiteness, because the people I looked up to, none of them looked like me or sounded like me or shared my heritage. And so I just was like, I'm just going to copy what they're doing, because I honestly didn't even like being me. It was way easier to just go, well, I'm going to just make a sound like this person or this person. Yeah. Cause I didn't want to figure out who I was. I didn't like who I was. And so fast forward again to 2020, I'm at the beginning. I get on a plane, and it's my first time on an all black flight. All the flight crew is black. I step out in Atlanta. It was my first time. That was my first time being in the majority. I don't know if you've ever been to Atlanta. I assume you have, but like, there's so many people of color everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my first time in the majority. I'd never been in a situation like that. And once I was in the majority, I started to recognize, oh, there's a lot of diversity here. There's a lot of diversity in the majority, which means back, you know, where I come from, at the time I was living in Boise, but, you know, I only lived in Boise 2 years before I moved to Nashville, San Diego. Okay. I think subconsciously, I thought all white people were the same. And so when I was around all this diversity with people of color, I'm like, if there's diversity in the minority, which is now the majority, then there's diversity in the majority back at home.
Yeah.
Then I get into this house, right? I'm like going through all this, and I get into this house, and somebody stands up and goes, guys, I want you to look around the room. Heaven doesn't look like you or me. It looks like us. Wow. And that's when everything clicked. I don't know if you've had a moment like that in your life, but that's when everything clicked for me, where I realized, oh my goodness, like, I've been running from the unique expression of God's heart and character my whole life, because I haven't been embracing me. Like, I have been trying to be somebody else when the whole time God's been trying to tell me, like, I made you black on purpose. I got you with your parents that are not from the United States on purpose, because guess what? You have a unique expression of my heart. Psalm 139, every single person was formed uniquely, beautifully, hand-formed, crafted in the mother's womb. Like, we praise him. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made unique. And so I've learned, wow, if I can embrace who I am and bring it to God authentically, not in a way to say, like, God, here's all my sin, like, don't change it, but like, to authentically bring myself to him. He's light, like we talked about before, 1 John 4, there's no darkness in him at all. So if I bring myself to the light, he'll expose the darkness. He also will use me in a manner to proclaim his gospel story in a manner that only I can. There's only one of me. There's only one of you. There's only one of whoever's listening to this. And so that has really helped me to figure out my voice. And I've become very passionate about helping other people to find out, hey, God has reconciled us back to himself through Jesus so that we can participate in this beautiful communion table that is filled of diversity because his heart is diverse. And so I'm trying to create a music movement that empowers the church to be reconcilers through loving ourselves and others beyond comfort. Why comfort? Because it's kind of uncomfortable when you recognize, like, people don't fit in boxes. There's a lot of uncomfort there. But we want to do beyond comfort so that we can see authentic people who bring themselves full-heartedly to the Lord and go, hey, use me. I'm ready. In a multicultural church, right? Authentic people in a multicultural church where we can look around and we go, we don't only see diversity here, but we also intentionally create space to celebrate the unique manifestation of God's heart through different people for a reconciled world. Authentic people in a multicultural church for a reconciled world, because the world can't become reconciled unless the church exemplifies it. What we've done a lot of times in the church communities is we've oftentimes told the world, hey, Black Lives Matter or LGBTQIA+, like, all of these identity movements, they're not going to save you. But then you haven't showed them living water. We've just pointed our finger at them, because we in and of ourselves don't know how to actually celebrate and embrace the unique manifestation of God's heart in our communities, not all church communities, but in the majority of them. And so I'm passionate about creating resources and music that help speak to that and provide people with this, you know, pathway to potentially get there.
Man, so much there. Thanks for sharing that. That is so powerful and so important and so ironically outside of, you know, the normal way that it's been done in the past. But that's the whole point, right? Is doing something that's recognized, like, for you to get to have that moment, because that's such a defining moment for your life, not just your artistry life. Of course, that's a part of it. But when you're in Atlanta, you know, and that quote, you know, doesn't look like me, it looks like us, meaning the collective body, because we all hear about the body of Christ, you know, no one part is more important than the other. Well, that directly applies to what you're saying and your vision for this. It's like, I remember this is something that's way less important as what you just said, but like, I remember when, you know, I used to get really nervous every Sunday before work, and honestly, I always kind of did, but really nervous about like forgetting words and stuff, you know, doing the Sunday morning worship thing. But then one day there was this lovely lady who was like the first like lady who invited my wife up to like the church. And like, she just really, and she was like on the pro presenter. That was like her thing. She was like the pro presenter queen. Okay. And she was like, well, you don't have to, she might even come up on stage. Maybe I was like visibly nervous or something when I was first starting. And she's like, you know, if you're not singing, then I have no words to put on the screen, you know? And like, I know this is like a weird example, but like without each other's strengths and weaknesses, then we're not a body. We're just a bunch of random parts just flailing in the wind or whatever, you know? So like, I love that you are building your entire platform on that, because that's the way it's supposed to be. And to be a trailblazer in that is, it means so, it's so much bigger than music, but it's such an important part of where music should be going. Because I've noticed, we've all noticed, you know, now when you go to Spotify, it's not just the same 10 songs. We're getting more diversity in the songs, in the sounds, in the vibes. Like, it's happening. And so for you to be a part and leading that in your community and area is so valuable. And it's honestly where everything's headed. So that God gave you this vision to do that. I mean, you're playing a really important role in that. So that's, I'm excited, you know, for you and to see how God continues to use you in that, man. So just be bold, you know, and you are, and I'm excited. Like you said too, like going back kind of the song side, like you kind of started in a more corporate worship kind of vibe. And I mean, the thing is too, is you are fully capable and gifted to do that, because the songs that you are putting out are great, you know? So there's nothing, there's nothing wrong about that at all. But obviously, like you said, like with the new EP Meta, it is a different vibe, slightly more artisty, I say, instead of like the corporate worship vibe. So like, how did you kind of start? And you also mentioned, you know, Nashville, like what brought you to Nashville? And then did that kind of start? Did you kind of start in the corporate worship thing and kind of gone to where you are? So what's that story kind of like?
Yeah. I came out to Nashville because I released a record before Meta called Meiji. And that one was a little bit more on the corporate worship side. Now, again, if you listen to those songs, you can tell like there was some of what I'm explaining, you know, in those songs, because I did those songs and I did it with one of my buddies who was a part of this big church movement out of California. And he get it. I mean, that was the whole thing. I was like, look, dude, you get congregational church music. Like, you guys are one of the ones leading the way. So like, would you partner with me on this so that I can make this message? And then I had my other buddy who, you know, I honestly didn't have really any black friends until the beginning of 2020, bro, which is wild. But I had one of my black friends who I met, who just, he's a phenomenal artist, a guy named Christian Lewis, who you should connect with for this. He's amazing. Cool. But he kind of was like, I had, you know, my boy Dave, and I'm like, okay, Dave, you like help me with the sound. Christian, you make sure that it still sounds like me. Like, they had these two distinct roles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, there was a pretty unique sound to it, I feel like, it kind of created some buzz in the music industry, Christian music industry. So when I moved out here, there was a lot of buzz from that specific record that was kind of creating some opportunities and whatnot. And it just made sense to be here because, as you know, I got a bunch of children and like, I was getting on a plane every 2 weeks. And it was just like, my wife's like, nah, like, if we're going to try this, like, let's just do it. She told me basic, like straight up, like almost verbatim. Listen, you've had 1 foot on the shore, 1 foot in the boat for like our entire relationship. It's time for you to decide where to put both your feet. She's wow. like, if you want to put both feet in the boat of music, like I'm with you. If you want to put both feet on the floor, on like on the shore of like a quote unquote traditional job, I'm with you. She's like, but you should decide. And she told me, she's like, I think you should do music. She's like, it's always been in your life. It's always been something that you've been gifted in. And like, she's like, and I can see just with all these things that are happening, like we were talking about before, like things just happen, like not us forcing them to happen. It just happens. Yep. You know what I mean? Like some of the people that like I am connected with and did get connected with, like there's no way that I could have done that myself. So yeah. She was like, look, God's obviously opening doors. Just put your two feet in the boat, and music is like a raging sea. Sometimes it's calm, sometimes it's not. And she's like, I'm here with you. And so we put two feet in the boat and came out here. Now, since being here, like, yeah, just more and more has become clarified in my calling as I continue to build relationships, as I continue to study just more about the heart of God, specifically exemplified through multiculturalism. The more I spend time with God, it's just kind of changed the sound. And I've recognized that the message that he's given me is 2 Corinthians 5. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, the church. Well, what I think is the church hasn't been doing the ministry because we don't have the tools to do it. And so I believe that when God reveals work, like when he reveals an area that's not being met, it's because he wants you to do it. Like he reveals the work to those who are called to do it. So I don't look at what's going on in the United States, in the church in the United States, and go like, man, we're so XYZ, we got to figure our stuff out. I'm like, no, there is a hole, but I'm one of the people that's meant to equip and fill it. And there's, thankfully, I say one of the people because there's a lot of people. So I think with a new message, and then also honestly being, again, it's not about being a person of color in a white world. However, I do think there are some really interesting and factual realities that come to play when you're looking at like, hey, why are things the way that they are? Like you kind of have to look at the whole thing. And so for me, it's like, okay, listen, like being a person of color, that already is kind of like we don't have that many people of color, like in any space outside of gospel. Now people are changing that, but like, that's not how it was. And right. then it's like, this message is different. And so I'm like, okay, sonically, I feel like it might be better received if it's not coming from a familiar place. Like if it's going to be a new thing, like just let it be a new thing versus trying to like put new wine in an old wineskin. And then the other piece of it was, I feel like there's some language needed in order to like help move people towards becoming reconcilers, to move the church from being versus attending, I feel like there's some language limitations, and I could be completely wrong. I could be, but I feel like there's some language limitations. And so I felt like, okay, if I want to kind of, and I have a team of people that I work with to make sure it's accessible. I want people to come along. I'm not trying to like yell at people. I'm trying to walk with people. I felt like there was maybe a different kind of genre that honestly doesn't exist. I think it's like, again, it's a box thing. And I'm like, if I'm trying to preach this message, everybody's got a unique color, culture, creed combination. There's no boxes. Then maybe my music shouldn't have a box. And I should just let it be what it is and kind of see what happens. And so far, it's been really good. And Meta, for example, specifically, like I was really focused on helping people to understand like just the authenticity piece. Like if you're afraid to be authentic around people, you're probably afraid to be authentic around God, specifically with pain, right? If you're not able to tell God, like, man, like I lost a son, man, God, I'm really pissed that you took my son because I know that you could have raised him. You did it for Lazarus. You did it for a lot of people. Like I've read the stories and I've seen stories in modern day. You've done it. You didn't do it. If you can't go to God like that, then you're not going to get that like Jesus wept part, and you get that ministry of presence. You're not going to meet the sweet comforter because you're just avoiding it. And I think that's all a part of embracing yourself, coming authentically to God so that you can be found in a multicultural church for a reconciled world.
Wow. And I think too, you're not trying to do it all at once with one song. You know, that's the thing is like, even to what you said before, like how you have to have people kind of in your corner as you're sort of developing. Like it immediately made me think about Jesus. He started his ministry after 30 years, right? like, he didn't come at it all at once. He didn't start resurrecting bodies in the first week, you know, right. That came later on, you know? So like you being able to recognize that it's a journey and there's an arc to it, instead of it just being like, here's my one song. That's my whole thing. If you take it or leave it, that's it. It's just like a firework. I always like to say, it's just like a loud sound with some pretty colors, but then it's gone. Like, you're building something that's an incline over time that unifies things, instead of just trying to be, you know, a billboard that steals someone's attention or whatever. You're doing this in a methodical way. Like you said, a team, like, for you to be aware that you want this sound, but then you want it to be your sound, and like that coming together from the beginning, from the first record, like, that's just all pointing to longevity, because you're thinking more than just as the artist. You're thinking about it as the teacher, the preacher, you know, the artistic expression, but also a unifier within your vessel is the song. The boat that you guys put both feet in is the song, but the journey is about where the boat goes and where the songs right. take it, you know? So, I mean, I love that, man. And that gives so much more weight and depth, because, you know, it's easy. It's super easy to get caught up in like, hey man, this song sounds really cool, right? And it's like, well, yeah, but that's it. That's like 3 minutes later, it's over. But when you're building something with depth and life to it, that's where it continues on and actually impacts people for generations. So, I mean, I just, again, just, you know, it's, I just think it's great that you're doing that in this way. So with Meta, you know, I saw you've got some features on there. One, David Leonard, you know, a hero of mine for sure. So like, are you writing, like, what was the process, I guess, kind of behind Meta and kind of like a nerdy songwriter? Like, how did that come to be?
I had written 2021 has been like, honestly, like the most difficult year for my family. Like just there's been a lot of death. There's been depression. There's been suicide. There's been cancer. Like there's been a lot, and we're still in it. I mean, and so I've been parked in Isaiah 43 and verses 19 and 20. They've really been like my anchor. 19 and 20 says this, it says, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? I'm making a way through the wilderness and streams through the wastelands. Verse 20 is the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide drink for them. Like I am the stream that gives them life. And so as I've been kind of planted there, I'm like, okay, God, 2021, this has been a wasteland for me. Like it's been a wasteland. I released Meiji at the beginning of 2021. And honestly, the beginning of 2021, there was, in terms of industry opportunities and things, all of them were built around Meiji. So then Meta is different. So as I'm kind of saying, like my prior, some of my opportunities have changed, because in a reality, I'm dealing with a completely different department now, right? Because it's like the songs are different. Yeah. So it's like, hey, we love you and we love what you're doing. But like when we started kind of communicating about things, it was kind of more around this sound. And now it seems like things are changing, which we're not angry about. We don't know if we're a good fit for your team. I've realized out of Isaiah, you know, the river in the wasteland, I'm like, okay, 2021 is a wasteland. Things are different. Like the things that I thought was going to be like my realities, you know, even in December, I thought my realities in December, like none of them are realities. And for good and for worse, you know, like honestly, the music industry stuff, that doesn't bother me. That's just the music industry. Like it is what it is. It takes time and things change. That's fine. The bummer parts are more like the health things for people, you know, like just my father-in-law's got stage 4 lung cancer, didn't smoke. Like he just, oh man, you know, it's just a lot going on. And so we're like, okay, 2021 is a wasteland, yet there's a river in it. Because one, like verse 20 says, like our lives are sustained. Like my family, like our lives are sustained. Like we still have breath in our lungs. We still got food on the table, roof over our heads. Like, okay, we're sustained. And then another really cool thing is we had a baby. We had our son, Kanan, who's asleep on the monitor. We had him kind of in the middle of all this, and it was like, to me, that was a new life, right? Like new life is sustained with water, but new life also grows in water. And so he's been a really special boy to our family, because we're like, man, like he's just a sign of God's presence and that he's doing something new because there's new life. So as I was kind of processing all this, that's where all the songs were coming from. All the songs were coming from me just kind of processing. And so on my record, Meiji, there was one song called Be the One that I wrote about my son that died. And that on the record was the most unlike the other songs, but that's the one that's gotten the most like traction. Don't know why, but it got, that one got the most traction. And so I was like, that's interesting. Like, that's got the most traction. And people have been playing it in their church communities, which is kind of cool, because it's not a traditional, at least sonic and lyric, worship song as we currently define it. And so that was part of it where I was like, okay, this is already there. My buddy, I'm really good friends with David Leonard. He's like a dear, dear friend of mine. And so I was like, bro, would you be down to just remix this and sing on it? And he's like, yeah, of course. We're like buddies. So that wasn't it. That was really sweet of him. I love him. He's been an inspiration musically. And my favorite record of his is actually The Weight, which, I mean, he's like, but I'm like, dude, that record's so cool. And if you can tell sonically where I'm going, I'm like, it's a little more that way.
Yeah, I felt that, man, with Meta. I did. I was tying it into that record. So I'm there with you.
You get it. Yeah. I'm like, dude, The Weight is so sick. And even how he did the live thing, I'm like, I kind of love that. So anyway, that was how that came. And then the other song on the record, Silver Lining, I did with my buddy Nathan Jess, who he's like one of my like main collaborators. He's in Ireland. Love him to death. Literally, he's one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. He just gets me. And we were writing a song. Again, I was processing. You know how it is. When you write with people, it's so intimate. So we were processing the loss of my son again. And that turned out to be Silver Lining. And then my buddy's wife committed suicide. And that just like wrecked my wife and I. And so I wrote Oh My Sweet Comforter out of that. And so once I just had all these songs and I felt like, man, 2021 has been a really terrible year and I really could use these songs of comfort. And Nathan, like, we already collaborated a ton. Like, why don't we just put out a little EP? And I honestly feel like it's probably going to connect with people, because I think the last 2 years for people has been really wasteland-ish. And so,
man, that's so good. And of course it's going to connect with people because it came from real things, you know, and whether we know it or not, I mean, hopefully now the people who will hear this and other things that you've done, you know, they will know the story, some of the stories behind the music. But I feel like we perceive it, whether we know the story or not, we can sniff out authenticity. I don't know what that is. It's some sort of like a human, maybe that's the discernment piece. I don't know how, but I feel like if we listen to something, you can feel a pull if it's from a real spot. And that's not to say like you can't, there's great storytellers out there that can make stuff up and like, that's great. But I feel like the emotional weight of the truth just grabs us in a way. And that's how music was meant to be used. You know, I feel like, you know, God's spirit and this perceived, it's because music technically is unseen, right? I mean, we can look at a waveform, but really it is seeing the unseen, right? Feeling the unseen. So
yeah, that's good.
You know, especially when we put God's power into this thing that obviously worship is a really important part of the economy of heaven, you know, like we get a chance to connect. So when you put real emotion and real feeling and story into our songs, like they can't not connect because they're a real living thing, you know? So I know for me, man, like as soon as I heard this stuff, I was like, dude, this is really good. And yeah, it is a departure from the first more corporate worship stuff. But like, for one, that doesn't matter because it's all worship anyways.
You know,
it may not be in the same rules or in the same box, you know, as we're talking about, but like, that doesn't matter at all. You know, like it's whatever is moving you. It has to move you first as the artist, or else it has no potential to move anyone else. Because if it's just something that you can do because you're good at it, like that's awesome, but that's not going to help a single person, you know? So like the fact that you're tying in these real stories, and like, I'm just excited to get to hear them personally, you know, and hear behind it, because I've already been listening through it, you know, so hear more. It's just going to bring so much more depth and weight to what's already there as it kind of uncovers the origin story behind it. So, you know, 2021, yeah, man, 2020 was like this weird year where everyone's like, what's happening? And then 2021 is like, this kind of like sucks, you know, like, I don't know. We've had, as you're saying, like, we've got my sister's husband's mother, stage 4 lung cancer right now. Mm. Like I'm having conversations with her last night. Like, and this is, we've had many people, you know, people are passing away. A lot of stuff is stirred up right now in the world, you know? So like, we're all there. So like, looking into the new year, like, do you plan to kind of like use these songs as like touring wise, or like, what do you plan to do with the music now that it's kind of out there?
Yeah. I'm sorry about your Your family member, though, that's rough. That you say your brother-in-law's mom?
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Lord, just be with them, give them peace and if it's your will, heal her, Lord. And thank you for sitting with us in these moments of just of heaviness. Lord, I'm so grateful for how you've shown up in my life and just been not rushing me to the next emotion, but you sit there. You looked at Lazarus and Mary when you were going to raise Lazarus up and you didn't say, wipe your tears, I'm going to raise him up. You said, nope, I'm going to cry. You literally wept. Says it, you wept. And then you did what you're going to do. And so we know that all things will work together for good. And we're thankful that that's not dependent on what we feel right now, yet you meet us where we feel right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. Heaviness. Yeah, and you know, for me, I mean, even when you talk about the worship side, I'm so grateful that you said, like, yeah, this is worship. Because to me, it's like, I spent a long time, bro, writing, like, for achievement versus writing for the presence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time writing to hear people clap versus to create a sweet aroma for the Lord.
Ooh,
that's and I'm just, like, not, I'm really... You know, and I got, like, I know I got people. I'm an independent artist, but I got a team. I got big team. I got people that I'm so grateful that you have just invested in me and are, like, continually investing in me. And I got this group. It's called My Brain Trust. And, you know, one of my, they're, like, basically spiritual parents to me. There's five of them, and they're different ages or different genders or different colors. Like, they're great. Love them all. Mm. But one of my spiritual moms told me, 2020 is the year of revealing. God's going to reveal things that have been in our hearts. And 2021 is an year of renewal or removal. And I think that's just what it's been. You know, that's, and I think for a lot of us in the church, we've built our lives on a lowercase g God instead of Yahweh. And he is removing things. You know, for me, like, God's good until things don't work out good for me. Then I'm like, I don't know. I must have made him mad, or he must not be good. Nope. Like, God's still good. And so I've just been sitting there. And so part of what I want to see, my vision is authentic people in a multicultural church for a reconciled world. I think we need more authenticity in our congregational music. And I understand that it is a risk, right? Like, you know, there's a risk, like, on a money side, I totally get it. They're like, is this going to sell? People don't want to sing this. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? Like, some of the songs we are singing, they're not helping people on the ground. You know, like, they're keeping our eyes upward, but guess what? Easter isn't Easter without Good Friday, right? And the silence of Saturday. Easter is one day, right? One day of resurrection life. But I'm like, the Passion Week, it's mostly dark. It's mostly dealing with real emotion. But it feels like from a song standpoint, we mostly in the worship music as currently being defined in CCM space, we're mostly singing Easter songs. And I'm like, we need more songs that are the week of. We need more Saturday silent songs. Like, is he going to raise? Is he not going to raise?
Yeah.
Are they going to get healed of cancer? Or are they not going to get healed? We need more of those. Because there's worship in that. I've learned that crying is worship. Crying in my closet is just as worshipful as singing with my hands up. You know what I mean? And so part of me is like, I really, what I want to see again, the vision, authentic people in a multicultural church, a reconciled world. I want to provide language that's authentic for people. And even if that means, like, it doesn't do exactly what, you know, another song could do next year, I'm just honestly just planning to release more. If people want me to come out and play, like, there's a couple opportunities to do some. Yeah, there's one opportunity right now to do something really cool, perhaps with some prisons. And so, like, whenever people want me to come, I'm coming. I mean, this is, like, we talked about, this is my main thing. And so if people want me to come, like, I'm totally happy and willing to come. At the same time, like, I do feel like there's more songs to be released. I'm really excited mostly about, like, the team that I have going into the next year and, like, what we're poised to do. Will we get to do it? I don't know. And I'm okay also being wrong, you know, even with like, that's why I have a team of people. Like, maybe I'm wrong about something about, you know, what worship and CCM, like, allows or whatever. Like, maybe I'm wrong and I'm okay with that. Like, I want to stay teachable. So, yeah, I guess to answer your question again, 2021 or 2022, TBD.
TBD, man. Well, that's the best way to be, right? You're not locking it down to like, it's going to be this way. You're just open to what happens and going with where God leads you. So there's a couple things I want to ask you. First thing is, there's a lot of independent artists listening right now that they're like, he's talking about team a lot. I don't really have a team. I'm the team. So can you go into as much detail as you want to about like the roles of your team members and like kind of what that looks like, so that people can start, because obviously it's really helpful to have other people leaning into their strengths. That way you can lean into your strengths, but you're obviously setting the vision for the path, but other people's hands are in on it, helping propel it forward. So what does your team kind of look like, and what do they do around your artistry?
Yeah. Well, this is a kudos to my parents. You know, they've always encouraged my siblings and I to surround ourselves with people that have been further than us, because they're like, surround yourself with. Now, again, in the United States culture, this is one of the cultural gems, right? Being a third culture kid, it's like, I've heard it said, like, third culture kids are superheroes, because we get to pull different parts of culture and just create our own little thing, which I think everybody should do anyway. Even if your parents are from the same culture, and even if from the same culture as your parents, like, you still have the ability to surround yourself with people who are different than you and like create your own thing. Again, boxes, we don't need them.
No.
And in fact, I would argue that God doesn't want them for us. Like, so anyway, in Nigerian culture, there's a very high value on the elderly. Whereas in the United States culture, I would say there's a really high value on youth, hence like our anti-aging creams and stuff. In Nigerian culture, it's like the opposite, if you can imagine. It's like all about like being, it's all about respecting and valuing and appreciating older people, which is beautiful. So for me, that's always been a value of mine, to be surrounded by people in terms of like mentorship that have been further than me, that are older than me. And so I have basically like, I really have like two or like, we'll say three teams. I got like three teams of people that like work with me. Now, most of this has been, honestly, most of this has been people coming to me and me just asking God, like we were talking about earlier, what am I supposed to do with this relationship? It wasn't like I was like, hey, when I started, I had no idea that I was going to have teams. Like, mm-hmm. I thought it was just going to be me. And I was an independent artist, so I was always talking like I had a team, but it was really just me, you know? Well, team Timmy Top, and it was like, just me. me and us. Like, but now there's like, there's a lot of people. So I have, they're like my advisory board, if you will. Yeah. Their goal with me specifically, it's five people. Their goal is, like, their main purpose is to make sure that I'm a present father, husband, and friend. That's their main purpose. So I filter everything through them, like literally everything from like, they keep me accountable and taking my wife on dates, to my kids on dates, to going to my friend's birthday parties and calling my parents and, you know, connected within my church community. Like I filter like everything through them, because at the end of the day, you know, as an artist, you know, it can be so intertwined with who we are as people. It's not my identity though. You know what I mean? Like, who I am is a son of God, and the artistry is just like part of what I do in this season. It could change. So I think it's really important to have people that remind me, like, this isn't who I am. My music is not who I am. When I release a song and it does really well, that's not who I am. When I release a song and it doesn't do really well, that's not who I am. And that's what they exist for. Really great. And they also help me with business stuff. Like, you know, I talk to different business opportunities. Like, I mean, it's cool. One of them does music, but the rest of them don't. And it's great, because it's just like, they're not enamored by glitter. I've always been about being around people that aren't enamored by glitter. So I'll be like, but for my wife, I'll be like, oh, babe, I met so-and-so. And she's like, who is that?
That's awesome.
It's great. You know, and that's how my brain trust is. It's like, or my advisory board. I call them my brain trust, but they're like an advisory board. It's like, hey, I'm talking to these people and they want to do this, this, and this. And they're like, cool. Did you take Jordan on a date this week? Cool. Did you take your little girl out? You said you were going to. Did you do it? Like, so they keep me grounded. That's one.
Yeah.
And I got this new thing I've started is I have an A&R team. As I'm kind of going into this new season of like, hey, I'm just riding for the aroma, not for people's clapping. Sampha, Givian, James Arthur, and Ed Sheeran, like, they've created their own sonic differentiator.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran's a great example. You know an Ed Sheeran song before he even starts singing. And so I'm like, okay, like, guys, like, if we're going to do this whole new thing, let's figure out a whole new sound. And their job is to help me figure out, like, the best songs. Like, that's their job. And so I send them a couple songs a month. And they tell me, hey, this one's like the best one. And the goal is to be releasing more songs next year. And so the goal of that team is to help the songs that we release to be the very best ones. Now, on that team, there's some songwriters that I really respect and look up to, but there's also somebody who does work with radio, and there's somebody that's like going to be like my producing arm, like my second hand man or woman, whoever it ends up being. So that's like what that team looks like. That's like really just like content in that sense. And then I have like an admin crew that helps me with like booking, emails, making sure that we're actually connecting with people, because like you said, it's not about me. It's like building a movement. It's a music movement empowering the church. So it can't be just about me. And I never want to lose sight of individual people as I'm doing this thing. And so they help me not lose sight of individual people.
Putting a foundation so that it's not just chasing after, you know, the unicorn, the songs. It's because if you don't have that, then you live and die by your emotion about your most recent song or whatever, you know? So if you have people, the filtering systems, essentially, right? Like, especially in the A&R and the brain trust side, like, they're making sure that everything you do all points in the same direction. And if it doesn't, then it falls off, you know? And then the admin side, without that, it's just like, you know, rainbows and butterflies. Like, the admin is the boring stuff that all the artists hate, you know, but like, it's just as valuable, because without it, you have nothing, like you said, you're not grounded. You're just floating around in La La Land, you know? So,
and they're so needed, to your point. I mean, like, I do like the admin, but the reality is like, again, one, this is not just about me.
Right.
So I can't carry it by myself. There's an old African proverb that I lean on a lot, was that a friend of mine shared with me. And it says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go further, go together.
Ooh,
that's good. And so that's like my mindset is, I'm like, I'm trying to go further. What does that mean? Well, another picture like the Lord gave me recently, where he was like, it was like me, because as I've embraced who I am, there's been this new authentic heartfelt worship that's come out. So like, he showed me this beautiful picture of me on top of a mountain having a moment with the Lord, like David, undignified. I might have been naked, I don't know. You know, I'm just saying, it was just me and the Lord, and I'm like in his presence, free. And he's like, this is beautiful, but let's pan out. And as he's panning out, this is a huge mountain, and at the bottom, there's a bunch of people. And he's like, I created you to lead people to the mountain. He's like, so if you just stay on the mountain by yourself with me, like, yes, it's beautiful and it's powerful, and I love being with you, and I love that you love being with me. I created you to lead people to those kinds of encounters, to find out, hey, me, God wants me as me. God wants me to be a part of his family. God wants me at the table as me. He's like, so that means, again, you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go slow, go together. That means I'm going to have to go, I'm going to have to sacrifice, as my pastor said, sacrifice some personal freedom to help others grow, to help others move. And so I'm doing a lot of different things. I'm doing like the Lumpy Couch podcast. I'm putting out music. I'm putting these reconciler guides out. That admin team is so important, because I will get lost in the weeds of all those things, and I'll forget that I'm meant to lead people. But they keep reminding me by taking care of the other stuff, hey, like, don't forget to lead people. Don't forget to walk with people. Don't forget to see people.
I just love all that stuff. And that's such a great, like, fast, go alone, further, go with others. I mean, that's so hard, because I know for me, you know, like, solopreneurs, as most of us are, like, we feel like we want to be agile and want to be able to move however we want. And the best way to do that is with the least amount of people around us, because then we can just kind of do whatever, whenever, you know. But the idea of the team, of the structure, because without the structure, you're going to probably run out of steam, you know, or two, like, even like that great picture, like, it's awesome to be at the mountaintop moment with the Lord, that personal time. Like you said, he loves to be with us. We love to be with him. But over time, it's almost selfish, right? If we're not actually inviting others to join, if they never get to experience the mountaintop moment with the Lord, and we could have part of them experiencing that, then man, what a calling that is, right? Mm-hmm. It's more than just like enjoying it for ourselves. You know, we get to invite people to have their own mountaintop experience. And hopefully, I guess the point would be that when they have their mountaintop moments with the Lord, then there's a group of people at the bottom of their mountain as well, right?
Like, yes, bro. Come on. And Nick, you said it well, like, it's a calling. Not everybody's called to do that. That's okay.
Yeah.
Some people are probably called I mean, I would argue some people are called to be with people at the bottom, encouraging them like, no, we are going to go somewhere. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, we all have, like you said earlier, we're a body, we have different parts. So not everybody has to do it. I do think as people of God, we're all called to serve, right? Mm-hmm. To be like, as my buddy says, a love that dies, like a love that lays down our lives. So we got to die to our preferences. We got to die to what we want, but and serve others. And then also like in that way, like we're also called to lead people. I think we all, to your point, like in some ways we are leading people, but to recognize your role in that, like I tell people the freeway analogy. We're all going north. North is heaven. Some of us are in a sedan. Some of us have a bus. Some of us are in the fast lane. Some are in the slow lane. And what we've done a lot of times is we've been pointing at each other like, you're not carrying enough people. You're not going fast enough. You're not going slow enough. What we need to do instead is go, we're all going the same direction. Praise God. Let's just keep going. Stay in our lane and keep going and encourage each other. Hey, I see that you got some. Awesome. Hey, awesome. That's all we need to do. Like, Holy Spirit, the Trinity has no room for four. Like, just do what God's called you to do and keep going. It's going to be all right. Hmm. You know, I used to think that there was a normal. No, different is normal. And when we stand together with our differences versus against each other because of our differences, we represent the multicultural heart of God. Now, the goal, again, is not multiculturalism. The goal is God. The goal is communion with Jesus. The goal is, or communion with God through Jesus. That's what the goal is. But if you can't embrace who you are, the unique color, culture, creed combination that God put in you, Temetape, to make you Temetape, then you're not going to be willing to do that for other people, and you're not going to be willing to accept other people. And so embrace yourself and embrace other people. Lean into different, lean into discomfort, and experience more God. You'll be better for it.
Man, and that's the body of Christ. I mean, that's the thing, you know, and yeah, I guess history has created lines and boxes, but why? What's the purpose? We like to categorize things. Is that what that stems from? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me either, because everybody is made to do something, and that has zero thing to do with like what we've been or where we've been or what we look like. It's just about we're made to do something. And if we're made to be in community with others, if God's main obsession is to hang out with us, then I have to think that our obsession is to be to hang out with each other too, if we're to be like, yes, God. You know, so like that, none of that has to do with anything except us and going out with others. So I love the idea, you know, and it's the hardest thing. The hardest thing is to be ourselves. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because we constantly compare ourselves to what we think we should be. But like you're saying, that's completely irrelevant. Like, what does that matter? Because they're all doing the same thing to us. It's completely circular reasoning, right? Like, yeah, we want to be like them and they want to be like us. So then we're all just trying to be like something that is neither of us. Just embracing who we are and doing that is what we're made to do. And man, what better picture, like I said, of the body of Christ. So man, thanks for sharing that. I love just everything you're doing, your mission, your vision. I think it's important. I think it's so important. So man, we're here fighting with you for sure. You know, with that, you know, how can people connect with you? What's the best way? You know, obviously I'm going to link all this stuff in the description below, but like, what's the best way to connect with you, and what's some exciting things you've got coming up? And talk about your, the Lumpy Couch project too. I saw you posted about that. So yeah, man, fill people in on all things Temetop.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. Well, you can connect with me on socials. My main social is Instagram, and I respond to everybody. It's me. It's not a robot. It's not anyone on my admin team. It's me. So if people message me and they have questions, like, I will respond. It will be me. And so, and I love connect, as you know, like, I love connecting with people. I love making new friends. So that'd be the best way. And I'm on Facebook, but what is Facebook? You know, Meta now. Sure. Whatever. So
that's the next MySpace is all.
I know. See, well, like, they're trying to take over the world now. I don't know, dude. And I have a TikTok, but I don't know. TikTok's just like, a lot of people on my team have been encouraging me, like, just do it. But I'm like, I don't know. To me, it's like quality over quantity. I don't know. And people are doing it. There's some amazing people putting quality content on TikTok. I just don't want to live my life on socials. So that's where you can find me there, my website. The Lumpy Couch is right now, really what it is, it's kind of like, you know, you mentioned something about like songs and kind of like, you basically said something about like songs being a tool. Mm-hmm. Really for me, I see myself more like an equipper than a musician, if I'm honest. Like, I'm a teacher, and my favorite whiteboard is music. Because what does music have the power to do? Well, innately draw people together. You got like, people from all different colors, cultures, and creeds all together in one room because they like John Mayer. Like, and they forget their differences because they're all fixated on John Mayer. So like, I'm like, I just want to use music. And instead of turning the lights down to focus on the stage, I want to use the stage to like darken the stage and turn the lights on in the room as they look at each other. Wow. Like, this is the world we live in. So all that to say, the Lumpy Couch is like an educational resource center. That is my vision for it. I have some really cool things I'm planning to do in the years to come through it. Hopefully, like, we've been like in this 501c3 like process forever, but the goal is to basically create resources that the church can use to start or continue the work of reconciliation in their communities. Part of that's the podcast, the Lumpy Couch podcast, where we curate different ideas and bring on people, give people an opportunity to learn the language of reconciliation, if you will. And then I have these things that I call reconciler guides, and they're all connected with my record. So Meiji had a reconciler guide focused on people of color. Meta, which you have been listening to, that's also going to have a reconciler guide because I think pain is a doorway. You'll never understand what it's like to be a white guy living in Florida. You'll never understand what it's like to be a black guy living in Nashville. However, we both have, I mean, you have a family member going through cancer. I got a family member going through cancer. We can use that as a way to enter into a conversation at a communion table that's only accessible through pain, which is why, again, I try to encourage people, like, don't wish away your pain, like, be present. And so, yeah, so that will have a guide. It'll be about reconciling with your pain. And so that'll come out. But all that's meant to be filtered through the Lumpy Couch. And so the Lumpy Couch basically uses music from Timmy Tape as soundtracks to the educational materials. Because I think, I don't know, I just think that's, for me, like, that helps me learn. Like, you ever remember Schoolhouse Rock? Did you ever do that as a kid, or your kids do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that always helped me. Like, there's, I'm just a bill. Yeah, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it, you know, that kind of stuff, like, helped me learn. So I'm trying to do a similar thing.
Man, that's so cool. And yeah, I'm going to link all that stuff below. Like I said, thanks for doing this. Thanks for opening your heart and being so honest. And just, it's, I'm excited for you. Like I said, I've been watching your trajectory and it's all up and up. And that, of course, we all know that definitely just doesn't come overnight or easily in any way, but it's worth it. That's the thing, is it matters and it's worth it. So, you know, just applaud you for continuing on the track, man. And the best days are still ahead. And before we go, definitely want to pray over you and your ministry. So I'm going to pray for you, man.
Thanks, bro.
God, thank you so much for Timotape and this amazing call that you put in his life, God, that specific and unique to him. And he's a unifier in this world where unification is such a need. There's so many people out there just lost and feeling divided, feeling like they're stuck in a box or a place that they have to stay in for their life just because that's who they are and that's who they're supposed to be. But God, let the message of his music and everything that he's doing just open eyes to see that that's not what it's all about. It's all about just being Christ-like, and there's no division in Christ-like. There's one stipulation in being Christ-like, and that's trying to be like Christ, God. So just let people see that through his messaging and his music and everything else, and pray wisdom and peace over his team as they continue to decide, you know, the moves for the future and all the things you've called them to do, God. Just increased wisdom, increased success, and increased health and over his family and all the things that he's gone through, all the pain and suffering his family's gone through this year, God. Just as you always do, reveal the good that comes from these bad situations, Lord. I just pray an amazing blessing over him and his family this season and into the next year and for many years to come. In your name we pray, amen. We want to help reach as many Christian indie artists and songwriters as possible. And one way we can do that is with your help. So if you could take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes, that would be so appreciated. This is how the iTunes algorithm will push this content out to more and more Christian indie artists and songwriters. So like I said, if you could just take a couple seconds, leave us a review, that would be so awesome. It means so much to us, and we would really appreciate it.